Now this morning, I want to do something a little different here in the beginning of this message. I want us to look at some numbers. And I know by now you can see those on the screens here in our church, these numbers. And I'm going to explain to you what these numbers mean in just a moment. But they're there, and they have a very, very, very significant meaning to every one of us this morning. And particularly to those of you who are Christians, and in reality, those of you who are not Christians. These numbers mean a great deal to us. And you might be asking, what do these numbers mean? And you're probably saying, and what do they have to do with me and with you? Well, they have everything to do with your life and your mission in life. I've been beginning these messages in this series. By the way, this is the last in this series on discovering your purpose. I've been beginning with a question, and here's the question for you today. Did you know that you were made for a mission? John 17 and 18 from the Message Bible says this, "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world," this is Jesus speaking, he said, "I give them a mission in the world." Now, beloved, listen to me, and I'll explain where I'm going with this message in just a moment. But I want you to know this. God is at work in our world, and He wants me, and He wants you to join Him in this great work that He is doing today. How many of you believe that God is still at work? Though our world is seemingly going crazy. Let me, that was very, very weak. Let me affirm to you, God is at work in the world, and He wants every one of us to join Him in this work. Now let me, for a moment, explain these numbers. This last week, our world reached 7 billion in population. 7 billion. Now, do you realize that there are more people alive in the earth today, right now, by far, than have been in the whole of history? Now, the world's been around, we know, recorded history for 6,000 years. But right now, today, as we sit here, as some of you view this by the internet or hear this on the radio, there are more people alive today on the earth than have ever been at any time in history. And when you add all of history together, 7 billion. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is very key. And if you understand evangelism, this should perk you up right now. And you should be listening because it's going to determine how you're going to reach the next generations. 60% represents those who are 30 years or younger. Did you hear what I said? The world's population right now, 60% of it is 30 years or younger. Now, we don't always see that in our community, or even in America, as much as you do when you go to some of these developing countries. You see it very clearly. Here's a sobering reality for us. 360 people enter eternity every 3 minutes. That's not an old statistic. That's not just a number. That is a really reality. 360 people enter eternity every 3 minutes. 540 represents our population growth every 3 minutes. Right now, as I've been speaking these last few moments, 360 people entered eternity to meet God or either to be separated from God. 540 people represent the population growth in our world right now as I've been speaking. Now, these numbers mean that our mission, if you'll hear me, is just beginning. I'm speaking. I want to speak to you today. I want to speak to the Christian world. This means that our mission is just beginning. And I know people are very discouraged about what's going on in our world. I had a real conversation with a very dear friend of mine this last week. I'm telling you, I prayed for him when I left because, first of all, I said, "Hey, you want to go drill water wells with us?" Now listen, just to hear my heart here for a moment. I said, "You want to go drill water wells with us in Mexico?" "No, we need water here." "Who's going?" And then we started talking about some other things. He said, I'm so disgusted with the world." In other words, if you could hear his comment, you realize he's checked out on the world. He's given up on the world. He does not realize that now is when God needs the church more than at any other time in history. The church needs to recognize when you watch the news and you hear of the problems in the economies in Italy and you hear of Greece's economy, that needs to be a signal to the church that the harvest is ripe and we're to be here for a very specific purpose. God has a mission for us. But you know what most Christians, let me just be real, do you know what most Christians are doing today? They are so upset with the world, they're so upset with the politicians, they do not even recognize what God the Holy Spirit would say to the church in this hour. Jesus said, observe the signs and know the hour that you live in. Now, beloved, I don't want to break your heart, but maybe I need to mess with your heart just a little bit today. I know most Christians now, Jesus is coming anytime. I just know He's coming. I've got some what won't be good news for you. He is not coming right away. And I will prove that to you in this message. So if you think Jesus is going to come and just bail us out, if you think we're going to have a spiritual bailout, you better think again. This that I'm talking about today has everything to do with when He will come back. You be listening for that in this message. See, God wants you to have both a ministry in the body of Christ. We talked about that last week, and I got pretty heated with this and fiery with my message. But not only does He want you to have both a ministry in the body of Christ, He wants you, and He does have a mission for you in the world. It's to be a dual ministry. You're to serve the body of Christ, but you're to serve the unbelieving world too. You have a ministry to this world. Your ministry is service to believers. And your ministry is your service to unbelievers. Now our English word mission comes from the Latin word from sending. Now, being a Christian, and I know this, I'm being very genuine here. Some of you may be new enough in the Lord, you don't realize this. But being a Christian includes being sent into the world as Jesus' representative. That's part of what God wants from you in return for what He's given you. He wants you to understand that you are His representative. John chapter 20 and 21 says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, Jesus clearly understood His mission. If you're familiar with the Bible, you realize at age 12, Jesus was already he was ready to go and do His mission. And He said to His father, or to His family, He said, I must be about my Father's business. And 21 years later, dying on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. In other words, Jesus completed the mission that God had for Him, and He was able to end His days on the earth by saying, it is finished. That is good news. Aren't you glad He finished it? Aren't you glad that He didn't stop halfway through the mission? What is that mission that I am talking about? It is this. It is introducing people to God. Christians, that is one of your primary purposes in the earth. It may not give you goosebumps every day, but I'm telling you, if you want to find your purpose, and that's what we've been talking about now in these six messages, how to discover your purpose in life. You are put here, and you have a mission, and it is to introduce people to Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, so we have been sent to speak for Christ. Folks, let me just tell you, one of the primary reasons we are on radio every weekend is because we want to reach people for Christ. Let me tell you, we have I consider for the size of our community a vast radio audience. I hear it when I'm out in the public. People tell me, I listen to you every Sunday. I listen to you every Sunday. That's the reason we are improving our internet service. Every week we are working very hard to get that improved, and we got people coming on and they're tuning in, they're watching, they're making comments, and all kinds of good things are happening, but we've got to improve it more and more. Listen to me, church. It's the reason that we have Fifth Feast. You know, after a while, Christians forget why you're doing what you do. The reason we have Fifth Feast is not necessarily so we can all just get together and have a big meal. It is to provide a climate, an atmosphere for you to invite friends who don't know the Lord. Yeah, that's the reason we have Easter in the park, and we go down to the park where we have a large, our pavilion is totally packed with people standing on the outer perimeters when we have Easter in the park. And you know what we do? We provide Easter eggs, thousands and thousands and thousands of Easter eggs. Why? So kids can hunt your Easter eggs? That's part of it. But the big picture is so that people can hear the gospel and come to know the Lord Jesus. I want us to remember that. Amen? You want to know one of the reasons that we have small groups? It's not just so the small groups can get together in fellowship. How many of you know all people just tend after a while? All small groups, if they don't stay balanced by this purpose that I'm talking about, you know what they become? They just become fellowship groups. They become fellowship groups. That's all you do. You eat in your fellowship. You eat in your fellowship. Folks, we've got to have healthy churches, healthy small groups. Then this has to be a part of it. Growth needs to be coming in everything we do. From what? From new birth. Because people are introducing people to their Lord and Savior. Now let me for a moment talk about the importance of your mission. Number one, your mission is a continuation of Jesus' mission on the earth. As His followers, we are to continue. We're called to continue what Jesus began. Jesus not only calls us to come to Him, but to go for Him. How many of you know that should be the ultimate goal of every church when people come? It should be that we disciple them, we inspire them, we train them up for what? To send them out to go. At one time in our church, over all of our exit doors, we used to have this saying, "You are now entering the harvest field." That in reality should be the mentality of Christians when they leave a church service or they leave a small group or wherever they leave. The mentality should be that I am now entering the harvest field. And how many of you know the harvest is ripe all around us? See, your mission is so significant that Jesus repeated it 5 times in 5 different ways and in 5 different books of the Bible. How many of you know that? I've taught you about the saying where Jesus said, "Truly I say to you," and then when Jesus says, "Truly, truly I say unto you." What about when Jesus repeats something 5 times, in 5 ways, in 5 books? I believe Jesus is saying, hey, this is really, really what I want you to get in life. I don't think that there is any more important purpose for the church than reaching out to the lost world, bar none. I mean, even a good worship service. Certainly, we need to get charged up in our worship services, but not so we can just taste and see if I like what the preacher preached, so we can go out into the harvest field. That really, I'm not sure everybody believes that. You know why I'm not sure everybody believes that? A few years ago, there were, I think, 1,000 churches were surveyed in America. With the permission of the leaderships of those churches, and they surveyed those churches, and they went to the congregational members of those churches, and they said, "What do you believe is the number one purpose of your church?" They said, "Well, it's obvious. The number one purpose," 90% said this, or 89% said, "The purpose of my church is to take care of me and my family." No, this is a real survey. Then those same pastors and leaders of those churches were surveyed and said, "What do you believe is the number one priority of the church? What do you believe it should be?" And they said, "Well, it's obvious. It's reaching out and reaching the lost." You know what we have in America? We have a division from the pulpit to the pew in America. God has a mission for us. And He has stated it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in the book of Acts. 5 different books, 5 different ways. He's saying, "This is what I want you to do. This is our purpose." And beloved, listen, if we forget our purpose, if we ignore our purpose, if we become disobedient to our purpose, listen, I don't know. That's scary to me. That is scary to me. That concerns me. And so our mission is important. And our mission is the continuation of Jesus' mission on the earth. He's saying, "I really want you to get this." In the Great Commission, Jesus said this in Matthew 28 and verses 19 through 20. He said, go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to do everything that I have told you." See, this commission was given to every follower of Jesus. Not to pastors only. Not to missionaries only. And this is where I think sometimes that rub, if you will, is between preachers and their congregations. This calling is given to everyone. And I'm going to tell you, I think the church has enabled a lot of people by the way we do church services. There are people who truly believe everything that I want, from worship to teaching to the salvation to everything, should all be packed into one service. But make sure, preacher, you get it done in a time that I don't get bored and my little bottom gets sore and I want to get out of here. You get it all done. That's where it's supposed to happen. That is the mentality of a lot of people. I choose to believe that is not the mentality of this congregation. But I'm telling you, studies reveal that. And not only studies, the reality of what we see. The reality of what we see. Now come on, Pastor, surely you understand the times that we're living in and the world that we're living in and how difficult it is. I do. I really, really do. But that doesn't change anything that God has told us to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need to work on our attitude more than we ever had before. I know it's bleak out there, but if we'll just pick up the book, Jesus told us it's going to be that way. The only problem with me sometimes and people is we just didn't think it's going to happen in our lifetime. And then we've got all these doctrines say, oh, don't worry about it. Jesus is going to come with the great bailout plan, and he's going to bail us out. So no worries, no problem. Jesus better come in a big hurry if he's going to come and bail us out. But I'm going to tell you again, you think I'm being rude. Jesus isn't going to come and bail the church out. I don't care what your favorite teacher on TV told you. He's got a mission for you and for me. And just because life is hard, let me tell you, you think life wasn't hard for the disciples when they were in the earth? Let me tell you, you think it wasn't hard when Jesus was in the earth? He didn't say, this is too hard, Papa, I can't do it. I mean, he tried once and God said, my grace is sufficient. Paul even tried that. Do you realize that all of the disciples, with the exception of one, gave their lives for the cause of Christ? I said, do you understand that? And John didn't die, but tradition says that they tried to kill John by putting him in a pot of boiling oil. And that didn't kill him, so what they do, they put him on the rocky island of Patmos. The great bailout ain't going to happen, saints. And I don't know why I'm usually one of the ones who will say things like that. I just think I need to have my head examined. This calling is to every believer. Now, this is your commission, beloved, from Jesus. And it is not optional. The words of Jesus are not the great suggestion. If you're a part of God's family, your mission is mandatory. And I try to teach people this. I try to encourage people, folks. The place God has you working, I know there again a lot of people, it's tough there. People have bad attitudes. We want to bail out. We want to get out. Listen, you're right in the middle of your harvest field. You're right in the middle of it. Make a difference. Get some people born again. Introduce them to God. Put a little heat on them. Be salty on the job place when they start all their crazy stuff. And eventually, God will defend you and they'll realize, hey, this is a man or woman of God and I better respect them. Before I was a full-time pastor, I was in construction. And how many of you know construction sites are not notoriously known for their precious language and their edifying words, and it's just a lot of cussing going on usually. Not all places. We've got some contractors that, you know, try to get rid of that. How many of you remember R.W. Shambach, The Hour of Power? If you're a little older, you remember Shambach. Let me tell you what we would do. And I'm going to tell you, over the years, we earned respect wherever we went. Not in a demanding way, not in a religious way. We were friends with these people. But we don't want to hear God cursed. We'd turn on R.W. Shambach on the job site. You're not going to cuss when R.W. Shambach is preaching. And you're not going to defy Christians. Not very long. After about a week, your old crusty heart's going to melt. And then you're going to start asking God questions. And I'm telling you, it happened time after time after time. And I'm telling you, whatever was going on the job sites, when we'd pull up, listen, here they come. Y'all, it's those people. Straighten up. But I'm going to tell you something. They had respect for us. It wasn't like, oh, here comes the religious crowd. You know, here comes the great buzz killers. No. We became the salt of the earth, and we understood that. And friends, let me just tell you, to ignore this mission that God has told us that we're on would be disobedience. Now you, again, I'll say it again, may be unaware that God holds you responsible for the unbelievers who are around you, but the Bible says this in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. He says, you must warn them so that they may live. And that is the reason why God wants them to live. They are not going to live if they continue in their sin. He says, if you don't speak out to warn the wicked to stop their evil ways, they will die in their sin. But here's what he says, but I will hold you responsible for their death. Do you realize that you are the only Christian that some people will ever see? And although it is a big responsibility, friends, it really is an incredible honor to be a servant of God and to help people find their way to Him. It really is. Number two, telling others how they can have eternal life is the greatest thing you can do for them. Now, we're all aware of the epidemic of AIDS, and how about the epidemic of cancer that is in the world today? If you had the answer and the cure for AIDS, or you had the cure for cancer, and you chose to withhold that would be the epitome of cruelty and evil, would it not? Do you realize if you and I, which we have the answer, the Bible says we have the answer, that we have the good news, we have the answer for the world, and He says it through Paul that we should be ready to give an account for, if we withhold the reality that we can tell people how to have purpose, we can tell people how to have peace, we can tell them how to have a relationship with God, to withhold that from them, do you realize what that could say about us? That's not good. And God doesn't want us to do that. Let me tell you, you may be angry at the world today. You may be upset with politicians. You may be upset the way they stab each other. You may be upset that they can't get anything done, apparently, the way that it needs to be done. But let me tell you, God's not angry at people right now. God is not angry. God's not got an attitude right now. I believe God's heart is broken. And I'll show you a scripture later in this message to prove what I'm talking about. I think God's heart is reaching out to the people all around us. Because all this stuff that we see manifesting is what happens to a nation and a people and a world when they turn away from God. And we've got the answer. And I think that we ought to tell them about it. And don't you be intimidated when people tell you that there are multiple ways to come to God. Acts 4:12 says this, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. You may get a little heat, and you may have to use a little bit of grace and patience with people, but you tell them, the Bible says, and I choose to believe the Bible, there is only one way under heaven and only one name by which you can be saved, and it is by the name of Jesus. Friends, I know you know this, but I want to stir you today. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. And number three, your mission gives your life meaning. Do you think people are looking for meaning today? Oh, I tell you, they're looking for meaning. In all the things and the stuff and the material things and the success and the power and the conquering and all these things that are going on in our world. Let me tell you what's behind it that you don't see. It is the heart of man seeking fulfillment. It is the heart of man seeking meaning for life. I love you today, but there are a lot of Christians who are looking for fulfillment and purpose in all the wrong places. And I just, every now and then I want to say, hello everybody, when are we going to recognize? When you do God's purpose, things work out. When you don't, they don't. There are problems. You want meaning in your life? Learn to do what God says to do with your life, and there will be meaning, and there will be purpose. William James said, the best use of life is to spend it for something that outlasts your life. Do we really understand that eventually everything that we know except the spirit of man is going to vanish? Do we understand, and let me remind us and encourage us, do you understand that the Bible tells us that even this earth as we know it will vanish? Why is it, if we know that, do we keep striving for things that will not fulfill? Why is it that we keep doing those things? You know, sometimes you just got to come to the place where you are sick and tired of being tired. You got to get to the place. And you know, we've all got this fallen nature that is so resistant to change. But, you know, at some point you got to say, this isn't working. And it doesn't take a really smart person or an intelligent person to realize, hey, what's going on in this world is not working. Do you ever watch the news and do like I do? I talk to them on the news. I talk to them. I tell them what the answer is. When they give some goofy answer, I say, no, that's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. God is the answer. God is the founder of this nation. Let's put God back in it. Any of you do that? Any of you ever talk to the TV? Is one or two of you. I talk to them. I laugh with them. I'll tell them when they're wrong. The truth is this, my friends. Only the kingdom of God is going to last. That's it. Hey, listen. I've been reading the book of Daniel. You're watching the Middle East. You're seeing one leader go down, another leader come, another. Do you understand right now, beloved, we are watching and seeing the fulfillment of the book of Daniel just unfold, where you go and you read some of that stuff, you don't understand, one horn's being broken off, another one's coming up, three other ones coming up. I mean, we're seeing it fulfilled. That's what all these leaders transitioning out of these countries, it's all about. It's not about evil so much as it is, it's the plan of God. And let me tell you what Daniel says, eventually God's kingdom is going to come and it's going to smash all those things, and there's going to be nothing left but the kingdom of God. With that said, I say we need to recognize we have a mission and get busy doing it. Paul said this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. He said, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news and about God's wonderful kindness and love. Beloved, let me remind you today and stir you today. There are people in this earth that you are the only one that will be able to reach them. Because of where you live and because of what God has done with your life. Don't believe for a moment that, hey, somebody else will come and do my job. Please don't believe that. Somebody else will come and do my job if I don't do it. No, they won't. No, they won't. No, they won't. See, we've got all these little, oh, God has plan B. God doesn't have plan B. Plan A is that every one of us are called in service to serve in the body of Christ, but we also have a mission and we're called to serve the unbelieving world. It is so true. And God's heart is really moved right now, realizing the population is growing. And I think the thing that moves his heart more than anything, some of these people and a lot of these people, probably the majority that are entering eternity, don't have a relationship with God. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to start looking around at your personal mission field. And I want you to pray, God, who have you put in my life to tell about Jesus? Come on, saints, listen. Do you understand why the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts? It was to empower us so that we could tell others about the good news. You say, I'm so nervous and I don't know what to say. Come on, step up to the plate. God, the Holy Spirit, will give you the words to say. You'll find you have a reservoir of years of teaching and things that are in there that the Holy Spirit will supernaturally recall and bring back to your remembrance if you'll just step out and say, God, I sense you want me to talk to this person. I'm going to do it. And you don't get nervous in the middle of the conversation. Oh, I got to shut this down. This may go around salvation. I mean, we may have to talk about eternity. I think I'll go. I need to go. Now trust the Holy Spirit in your life. Because God absolutely has a mission for you. And number four, I said I'd talk about this, and I'm going to do it right now. God's timetable for history's conclusion is connected to the completion of our commission. I want to say that again. This is the reason I don't believe, and I think I'm standing, you know, there are not too many people going to stand with me on this. I don't believe Jesus got the great bailout plan. I don't believe it. In fact, we just did a study on Wednesday evenings, and every time I go through prophetic study and other things, and I try to fit in what I've heard said, it just doesn't fit. You know when Jesus is going to come back? You really want to know when Jesus is going to come back? Jesus is going to come back when the church gets its job done.
Oh, no. You don't understand. God's working on a time clock. It's got to be, Jesus will come back at a certain time. Talk to the fella who in 1988 came up with 88 reasons why Jesus was going to come back, and then he didn't learn his lesson, and then again, he came back here just a few months ago and said Jesus was going to come back again. He didn't come back when he said, and then he revised his plan one more time. I think the guy is a heretic and a false prophet, or he's got mental problems. Matthew 24 and 14 says this, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. Are you hearing me? So that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. You want to know when the end's going to come? You want to know when Jesus is going to come? When the church gets out there and enters out into the mission field and starts preaching the gospel every day. Right? I know some people didn't understand why we put these cameras in here and why we started doing some other things. But I can tell you my motive had nothing to do with wanting to be on camera. It had everything to do with understanding that you can reach a world that's out there and speak to them right here from Quitman, Texas. That's it. I know there were folks that didn't understand it. Oh, he just wants to be on TV. I don't want to be on TV. Too much responsibility. Besides, they've taught me all kinds of things that I do. And then when you watch yourself on film, you think, good God, you're one goofy dude. And by the way, if you ever see me do things, there are things I've been told you got to do for the camera. They take little snippet shots. If you ever just see me sit here and stare in the camera, just understand what I'm doing. But you listen to me. 60% of the world's population is 30 years and under. And I'll get some feedback on this one too. Regardless of how you feel about it, what you think about it, the number one way that the world and that age group is communicating is through social media. Don't come and preach at me, oh, they're just compromising, they're doing, I preached all that stuff for a long time and I decided it wasn't changing a thing. People are moving into the social media and that's how they're communicating, and whether we like it or not, let me tell you, it is an entry point into people's lives. It is an entry point. I plan on beginning to Twitter. I plan on getting on Facebook and some other things, but I'm going to do it for the gospel's sake, amen? Why? Because 60% of the world's population right now can click on Church on the Rock's website and go and hear our messages and hear everything we're doing. They can read the verse of the day, and eventually, not before too long, we're going to have a reading for the day. All over the world, for pennies. For pennies on the dollar. That's why we're doing these things. But I don't believe the great bailout plan is going to happen just yet. You know, today there's, and I understand it, I'm interested. There's growing interest in the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. I am too. When will it happen? Well, Jesus, just before he ascended to heaven, his disciples asked him these same questions. They were curious about this. And I want to tell you, Jesus' response was quite revealing. Here's what he said in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. He said, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his authority." Did you hear that? "But you will receive power." Here's what he said. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In other words, you don't just stop in your little community. You don't stop in your little world. You go to the whole world. Don't just stop in Jerusalem. Don't just stop in Quitman. Don't just stop in the Wood County region. Go to the whole world. When Jesus' disciples wanted to talk about the world and they wanted to talk about prophecy, Jesus quickly switched the conversation to outreach and to evangelism. You know why? Are you hearing me today? He wanted them to concentrate on their mission. It's okay to study prophecy. We do it. We're going to do it again after the first of the year. I'm going to go through the book of Daniel because I'm seeing all this stuff fulfilled. I want to study it. But you know what Jesus is saying? Don't worry about that as much as you do your mission. Make sure that you are concentrating on your mission. He said, in essence, the details of my return are none of your business. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. And all of that, he said, only the Father knows when I'm going to return. So what is your vision? What is your business? It's the mission that God has given you. And that's what he wants your focus to be on. So if you want Jesus to come back sooner, aren't you getting goosebumps today? Focus on your mission. Focus on your mission. What is your mission? It's introducing people to Jesus. Preacher, I really came today to get, a real word. I've got all these problems going on in my life, and I really came to hear, a word that would build me up. I just gave you the greatest word to build you up and to help you get your eyes on your purpose and the way God designed you, that when you start doing what God tells you to do and you start fulfilling His business, let me tell you what will begin to happen. You will sense a peace and a joy and a contentment that you have never had before. I am learning every time I get away from the mission, things start getting all scrambled. When I get back on the mission, and that's my purpose every day, let me tell you what starts happening. Joy. I don't worry about the economy. I don't care if the stock market goes up. I don't care if it goes down. Oh, I know I offended somebody then. I don't care. Because I know why I'm here. And it's not to depend on the stock market. And it's not to depend on governments. It's to depend on Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who has a kingdom that surpasses all of these. Can I hear a great big amen today? Amen. Well, what will your mission cost you? Well, I'll tell you what, it'll cost you everything. It'll cost you your agenda. It'll cost you your own plans. In other words, if you're going to see your mission fulfilled, you have to come and abandon your mission. Let me tell you what it'll cost you. It'll cost you these selfish prayers that we pray. You know why a lot of our prayers don't get answered? Lord, bless what I'm doing. Lord, bless this, bless that. And we say, why ain't he answering my prayer? The devil must be stopping him. We're not on the same page as God. Does God want you blessed? Yes. Does he want to take care of you? Yeah, as you put the kingdom first, it is automatic, my friends. The open doors are automatic. The raises are automatic. The jobs are automatic. The blessings, when you put his business first. What did he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Folks, let me promise you this. If you put God and his business first, let me tell you, and you start fulfilling that mission at all costs, you'll experience the blessing of God in a way that you have never, ever experienced it before. And I'll tell you this, there's almost nothing that God won't do for the person who puts his mission above their own mission. It is true. I have experienced it for years. And every time I get away from it, I understand what can happen. But I've learned, I'm not here for me. I'm here for Him. Do I ever get discouraged? I sure do. Do I ever want to give up? I sure do. But I know this. God has a purpose for me, and He has a purpose for you, and He wants us to fulfill it. How many of you here in the heart of God today? Amen. Let me just finish this message today by, again, asking this question. What do all these numbers mean? They tell us that the harvest is ripe. And I'm going to tell you what's happening to me right now. These numbers have been speaking to me all week long. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. This is Jesus speaking. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You know what's going on today? You know why people are rioting? You know why Oakland's on fire now? You know why they're walking on down in New York? They're confused. And they need some compassion. They need Christians who are mature enough to step out of the yuck of life and the confusion and look for that opportunity to help them. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They are confused and they are scattered. And here's what Jesus said to His disciples. He said to His disciples, "The harvest is great." My heart is being stirred right now. Beloved, the harvest is great. But here's what Jesus said in the rest of that verse. But the workers are few. But the workers are few. You know how many people were on the earth when Jesus was here? 200 million people inhabited the known earth. 200 million. What do you think Jesus is saying right now about the 7 billion? I think He's saying the same thing He was saying to His disciples. I need some compassionate people that can get their lives in order enough and can overcome the problems of life and live in victory to the degree where they can be an asset to somebody else instead of always being the one that needs something. Hey, it's time for us to grow up. But here's what Jesus said. He said, "So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send more workers into His field." That's what Jesus said do when there's not enough workers. Beloved, listen to me. I know you've been here a while, but I want you to listen. The easiest, simplest harvest field to serve in is to serve the children of this world. Little children have childlike faith, and they come in and you tell them about Jesus and you ask them, "Would you like to receive Jesus?" "Yes, I would." "Great, let's pray." They get saved. Then you tell them about water baptism and they want to be baptized. And then you tell them that now your next step is you go tell your friends about Jesus. And what do? Like little children do. They're so innocent. They don't know rejection. They don't know religion. They don't know all the reasons why you shouldn't do it. They just tell their friends about Jesus. Here is what is disturbing to me. It is almost impossible to get people to work with children today. Just in a few weeks, we have a young man in our church who said, and we've been working with him, "God has told me to go into the community and get the little children that want to come to church, and I'm going to go and I'm going to take those vans and I'm going to go and pick them up. When they get here, they're going to be laborers." That's what I want to know. We're going to get them. If we have to shut down everything else in here, we'll just turn this into children's church and forget this other stuff. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Do you have those numbers you can put on the screens again? The harvest is plentiful. And I'm telling you, Jesus' heart is going out and He's saying, "Man, I died for all this." What I think God is saying today, I think God is saying it's time to put away the selfishness. It's time to stop praying the self-centered prayers and start praying, "Lord, I want to become a harvester." This is reality, friends. This is reality. 7 billion people. This last Tuesday is the world's population. And it has already grown dramatically over that. And by the way, my friends, let me just tell you how many people have died while we've had this service. 10,800 people have entered eternity. I want that to concern us. I want that to move us. Did you hear that, or is that just a number? Is 7 billion just a number? Just in the last few minutes, 360 people have died and gone into eternity. The Bible tells us at least half of those do not know God. I want to ask you a question. I normally do not ask these kind of questions, but I'll tell you, I think we really need to think about this. When is the last time that you led someone to faith in Jesus Christ? 1 year? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years? 5 years? And I'm not trying to beat you up today, but I'm trying to, let's get real. Can you even recall when it was? See, the church in America has a disease. And we're not healthy because we're not really realizing why we're here. Let me ask you another question. When is the last time you were a part of leading someone to faith in Christ? You know, I have to ask myself these questions too. And I think it's good for us to ask these questions. And here's what I would say to us to put this in perspective. If you just lead one person to the Lord in your life, I think you've really accomplished something. I think that is a tremendous accomplishment. That we have to change our mentality from, hey, the pastors and the missionaries, that's their job. It really isn't. Ephesians 4:11 says we are to equip you and train you for the work of the ministry that you're to go out and do. That's really what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what I want to do today. I want to stir us a little bit. So this week, when you're out there and life is invading you and problems are invading you, that you have this understanding that God the Holy Spirit can apprehend you and say, slow down, make yourself available, build some relationship with this person so that in the future when they're ready to receive Christ, you're there and you have a plan and you're ready to pray for them. Can I pray for us this morning? Let's pray that God will use us, because that's exactly what He said to do when the harvest is plentiful and when the laborers are few. Folks, if you need a ministry, I've got one for you. You need something to do for Jesus, we've got some things you can do. And we've listed just a few of those. Just a few of those in your bulletin. That's just a few of them. Because we didn't want to overwhelm people. But we firmly believe we need to take care of the kids first. We got a lot of things we need to do. But we got to take care of those kids first. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I just pray that you would take these words that I've spoken, first of all, and use them in my own life to keep my heart stirred. Lord, in the lives of everyone here today who is with us, and those who are hearing this by other mediums, Lord, that you would use our lives. And that you would help us to realize you have a mission for our lives. And Lord, my experience and the experience of the Word says that if we put your mission and your life first, that you will take care of us. We love you and we give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. I want us to stand this morning. And I want us to pray for our community right now and our world that desperately needs Jesus. Can we do that? Because that's one of the things we need to do too. I know some of you witness, but we need to make sure that we bathe our community in prayer so that the harvest is ripe and so that people's hearts are ready when we go to them. Can we do that now? Father, we pray for our community, Lord. Father, right here in Quitman, Lord, all these communities that surround Quitman that are a part of Wood County and a part of our congregation, Father, we pray for Mineola and we pray for Alba, Como, Lord, and Lord, all the countries, the communities around here, Lord, Yantis, and Father, we bathe them in prayer, and we ask, dear Jesus, that you would move on their behalf, and Father, we've already prayed, but Lord, use us in this great mission that you have for our lives. Father, I pray that this becomes a revelation and a reality, every one of us who are hearing this today, in Jesus' name. All of God's people said,